I am so glad that you're all here. And Joyce, we're so glad to have you. And I just want to welcome everyone, and we're really excited about this topic of Psalm 91. I want to tell you, Joyce, a little bit about how I found you.
Okay.
As a lot of our audience knows, we began taking care of my father about 14 months ago, and he was 89 at the time with Parkinson's, and now he's 90. And he is quite a handful, and I call him my 160-pound baby, but he's a joy to have and a challenge. And we just praise God and thank him for all the wonderful healing that the Lord has done spiritually and physically for my dad and for our family taking care of him. It's been a crazy, overwhelming task that the Lord literally threw in my lap and then the rest of my family. And so I was crying out to the Lord last August, and I was really beside myself because we had gone through a lot of months with my dad having dementia in the morning, and it was really overwhelming, and we didn't have answers. We didn't know what we were doing, and the Lord just delivered him off of one of the medicines he was on, and that medicine was causing him the dementia issues.
Oh, my.
And so they call it Parkinson's dementia, but yet this medicine was causing the dementia. And so it was about July when my dad's mind cleared, and it was the greatest gift. I know when his mind cleared, it's like my mind cleared also. But during this whole time of getting my father, I had a tremendous, overwhelming sense of responsibility for someone who is very ill, has very high needs of care. And so my dependence on God at this time was really, really very great. And so one day, and I have this written in my journal, it's August 15, 2010, I cried out to the Lord, and he led me to Psalm 91. I just heard him say, Psalm 91. And I went there, and of course, I wrote down the first few verses in my journal. And I use a keyword study Bible, Joyce, and love looking up the Hebrew and Greek definitions of words that, to me, has taken my understanding of God's Word to a deeper level and brought more freedom in my walk with the Lord since I began delving deeper into His Word. And so I wrote down, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And the word trust means to attach oneself, to trust, confide, to feel safe, be confident, secure, and to be careless. And the word careless there hit me funny, as in careless. I found a great comfort in God's word that day. And so I think what must have happened is I must have got on the internet, and I might have been looking for maybe to even just print the psalm out and put it in my journal, but that's when I came across your book. And so I would like to introduce you to my audience. Could you tell us just a little bit about yourself, Joyce?
Yes. My husband was the senior pastor of a church here in Brownwood, Texas, for 30 years. And before we actually went into the ministry, I had was under the care of a psychiatrist because I was in so much fear and turmoil and just terrified that something bad was going to happen to me or to my husband or my children. And I just spent a great deal of time in torment. And my husband finally took me to a psychiatrist, and I had all the shock treatments, and I wasn't really getting any better. And so I just called out to God one day and just said, you know, is there any way to be taken care of in all the things that we see happening on the earth? And I really wasn't expecting an answer. And I remember that I just lay down across the bed and went to sleep. And I was only asleep for 5 minutes, but in that 5 minutes, God gave me a supernatural dream. And I was out in the middle of a field. I was saying, asking the same thing. I was asking, is there any way to be protected from all the things we see coming on the earth? And all of a sudden, I heard a voice out of heaven say, in your day of trouble, call on me and I will answer. Well, it was like something exploded on the inside of me. I just began jumping and dancing and clapping, and suddenly the field in the dream just started filling up with people. People started joining me, and we were all clapping and dancing and praising God, and then suddenly I woke up, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't even know that it was a scripture, but I just knew that the joy inside of my heart, I knew that God had answered my question. And it was the next day that someone just mentioned, actually it was on a Bible study with a cassette player, someone just mentioned the word Psalm 91. And when I heard that, even though I had no idea what was in that psalm, I didn't know my Bible back then, something exploded on the inside of me, and I knew that whatever was in that psalm was my answer. And I remember I almost tore up my Bible turning to Psalm 91, and sure enough, there was the exact phrase that God had spoken to me in the dream, in your day of trouble, call upon me, and I will answer. And so I started studying Psalm 91 night and day, and, I spent about 6 months studying just as hard as I could study, and it was about a couple of years after that that my husband went in the ministry, and I started teaching that, and I'd been teaching it about 30 years when God told me to put it in book form.
Wow.
And so anyway, I did, and the rest is history. We've sent almost 1 million copies into the military. We have one copy of Psalm 91 that's just for the military. We have another one that is used mainly for firemen and those in prison. We have one that is aimed toward the youth, teenagers and early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Then we finally did a board book for very young children, and we did that mainly so that these young children can learn that they have a protection covenant. It's not just a promise, it's a covenant.
Explain that to us.
God has made some things where if we do our part, then he's made a promise that he'll do his part. Our part in this is verses 1 and 2. And he says that if we will choose to dwell in his shelter, if we choose to abide in his shadow, get into the word, let the word be our final authority. And then the second part is to say out loud, in other words, to be willing to declare to other people that, God, you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're the God in whom I trust. And we make that declaration. Then he promises in verses 3 through 16, literally every thing that could ever possibly come against us is covered in this psalm.
Right. Right.
Verses 5 and 6 is in 4 different categories, and it covers every evil known to man. It covers the terror by night, which takes in every evil that can come through what another person can do to harm us.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says that we're protected from the arrows. Well, that takes in all the spiritual warfare, all the just the daily things that can come to harm us. The third thing is pestilence. And I always thought that was something that got on crops, you know, something that killed your crops.
Yeah, exactly, right. Mm-hmm.
But I found out that it doesn't have anything to do with crops. It has to do with sickness and diseases that attach themselves to a person's body with the intent to destroy it. And then it also says that we're protected from destruction, and that takes in all the natural disasters. Well, my goodness, you know, you can turn on the news or look at the newspaper, and it's just filled with natural disasters. And the Lord says, there'll be 1,000 that fall at one side, and there'll be 10,000 that fall at your other side. And
right.
That's true. That's happening every day. But he said, if you're walking in this covenant and you're fulfilling your part of the covenant, he says it will not approach you for any purpose. And
right.
then he goes on to say,
right.
no evil will befall you, nor will plague or calamity come near your household. We can even claim this over our household.
Yeah.
And, then he just goes on to tell us about the angels that he sent to give them charge over us. And
yes.
then the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, will tread upon the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent. And that's the different ways in which the enemy tries to come against us. And then the last three verses, they're so powerful because these are seven bonus promises for the one that chooses to love him and follow after him. And, oh, those seven bonus promises are wonderful. And we just had, we started out teaching this, and we started collecting the testimonies that started evolving. And now, every time I write a new book, I just have,
so
many testimonies to put
testimonies
in the new one.
Of what God has done.
Yes.
Could you share a little bit with us about how we can find that secret place with God? Because in the first verse, like you said, the first two verses of Psalm 91, we have to do our part for God to be able to do his part.
That's exactly right. Well, when I first started out, I had no idea really what that meant. And I started going out every morning and walking, which I, you know, 30 years later, I'm still doing that. I go out every day, and I just started confessing Psalm 91 out loud and declaring, Lord, I choose to dwell in your shelter. I choose to abide under your shadow. I choose to declare this to people everywhere I go, you know, and I thank you that you've made a promise now that you will deliver me. And I go through the entire psalm and then just have a time of just developing a love walk with him, just a special love walk. And as I got that going in my life, then I started sharing that with my children. And that's one of the reasons I came up with the book for teenagers and the book for very young children, because I realized I was needing it to put it, you know, in a way that they would be able to best understand it.
Right.
And so I started sharing it with them and having, you know, encouraging them to have their private time with the Lord where they confessed and declared these things.
Right.
And it became something that was so meaningful to our family. Once there was a tornado that was coming, I mean, you could look out and you could see it. It was headed directly for our home. And our children were in bed. Jack got them out of bed and told them to quickly get their Bibles. And he took us outside into the front yard, and we stood facing that destruction that was headed that way. We could look down the hill. We're on a big, tall hill south of Brownwood, and we could look down the hill and see the React Club was there watching the cloud and making their report.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the kids open their Bibles, and we all started reading Psalm 91 out loud to the disaster that was headed for us. And we did that for, 5 minutes or so. And then all of a sudden, Jack said, okay, I have a peace that it's past, that the danger is past. It still looked the same. And so we went back in, and all, you know, where it had appeared that the tornado had just stopped for a moment, it started then moving in closer and closer. And we walked back into the house because Jack said, I know in my spirit everything's okay now. So we went back in rejoicing, and over the radio, the React Club said, we have just experienced a miracle. That tornado south of Brownwood has just zipped right back up into the clouds and has disappeared.
Wow.
And so we were just jumping and laughing and clapping our hands, you know. So we've seen miracle after miracle. And then I get people calling me every day. I have them sending their testimonies in to me where they started using this covenant and seeing absolute miracles.
Now, I like what you say in your book that Psalm 91, it doesn't possess magic of its own, but that it is the word of God.
Yes.
And so I like in Psalm, I think it's 119, where it says, revive us, Lord, by your word. Revive us, Lord, by your testimonies. Revive us by your love. This is God's thing.
Yes,
this is
exactly.
God's word. And so it doesn't hold a magical power just to try to rattle this off, does it?
No, it's not magic, but it is a miracle. And that is a supernatural happening of God where he intervenes in our behalf. And, you know, we have to seek him. We have to run to him.
And doesn't that get back to trust? Because that's
exactly
the point, is I will say to my God,
yes,
the God whom I trust, right?
Yes.
And I like what you say on page 21 of your book. You say, when I'm facing a challenge, I have learned to say out loud in this particular situation of, and then you name it out loud, I choose to trust you, Lord.
Yes, and I've said that literally hundreds of times. And what it does, there's something about that makes faith just kind of bursting up in your heart.
Right.
And it's like it comes up and then just bursts out into the heavenlies. And it hasn't been long ago that I all of a sudden said, Lord, why is it that Psalm 91 is just now becoming popular? Because a few years ago, you'd mentioned Psalm 91 and no one even knew what Psalm 91 was.
Right.
And so I was beginning to get a little fearful because I thought, it's always been there in the Bible. You know, what's going on that it's just now coming to the surface? And the Lord supernaturally took me to 1 Peter 1:3-5, where it says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, and then it gives us three things. He's caused us, number one, to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he's caused us to obtain an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. And then number three, the third thing is that in these last days, we are protected by the power of God through faith for a protection ready to be revealed in the end days. So he's just now, he tells us right there in 1 Peter that this is a protection that he's going to reveal in the end days.
Oh, God. Yes.
So
yes.
That, to me, is exciting. And I believe that he's introducing this now and bringing it to the surface because in the next few years we're seeing where our newspapers, our radios are just filled with really horrible things that are happening.
Yeah.
And to escape and to be able to survive, we're going to have to enter into this protection covenant.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, God has made a way.
Yes, he has.
For his people. In the psalm, it says, you will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Could you explain to us the difference between what the lion and the cobra, the young lion and serpent, what they represent?
Yes. Now, all of that is a representation of the enemy. And some of the times the enemy will come at us like a lion. That's loud and bold and, just ferociously. There's times when the enemy will come like a cobra. Remember, a cobra is real sneaky and slips up on you.
Mm-hmm.
You might not know that the serpent is even there until you've already stepped on it.
Okay.
And so sometimes the enemy does come in like a cobra. And then there's times that he'll come in like a young lion. It'll be things that they almost seem playful. They don't seem to be anything that we worry about. We kind of feel like we can just kind of play around with this danger. It's not really going to hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
But that young lion, when it turns on you, then it can do almost as much damage as, the full-grown lion. And then the serpent, there's really no such thing as a serpent. And so I kept saying, Lord, what does this represent then? And he said, think of all the things that you fear that really are not founded. The fears that you have.
Yeah. Imagination.
Imaginary fears. But they can do as much damage as, something that's real if we're frightened, if we allow it to possess us. And when I was sick, when I was young, a lot of the fears that I endured were things that weren't really even real. I was imagining that something was going to happen to maybe one of my children. It was an imaginary fear, but it was still literally leaving me, just
paralyzed,
devastated.
Almost, right?
Yes. And so, but he says that we can trample down those imaginary fears, those serpents. So anyway, we have the enemy coming a lot of different ways, but it doesn't matter how the enemy comes. you know, he says we're able to tread him under.
And we overcome him by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So all these people testifying to what God has done.
That's right.
You know, is the Lord overcoming? One day when I was reading your book last week to my daughters, my older daughter stopped by from Grandpa's house, and I was just reading the part about the snare of the trapper. And the next day, it was so funny, she was telling me, I don't know where I heard it, she said, but whatever I heard talked about how the enemy designs traps for us that are just like tailor-made for us. And I said, Claire, that was me. I was reading it to you yesterday.
Yes.
I'm thinking, she's getting old. But anyway.
But he does. He has custom-made traps for each one of us. What would bother me and put me under, you know, like back when I was sick under the care of a psychiatrist, there were some things that I was being hit with that would not have even bothered somebody else. See,
right.
those traps were custom made for me. And I see other people that, you know, are being just, you know, knocked down by the enemy. And I think, oh, well, I wonder why that bothered them. But see, they're all custom made. The enemy knows exactly what to hit us with.
So we shouldn't be so surprised at a temptation that is specifically designed for us, probably in the same area over and over again. We may struggle with something, but this is a trap that is specifically designed by the enemy. And I love there's a definition of the difference between a trial. Trials draw us to the Lord, and temptations draw us away from the Lord.
Yes.
So there's a very big difference between
two. That's why the Lord had me write the book, Tormented, 8 years and back, and so that I could put in the book what I learned and how I came out from the emotional illness that I was in.
Oh,
and,
I've got to get that book. I can't wait. Go ahead and give the address of your website right now, as long as we're talking about it.
Yes, it's Peggy Joyce Ruth.
PeggyJoyceRuth.org, right?
Yeah, just .org.
.org, okay. And there's all these incredible books that the Lord has allowed.
Yeah, one of my specially favorite ones is Those That Trust in the Lord Shall Not Be Disappointed. And someone said, well, I didn't think about that being such a powerful book when I first bought it. But she said, wow, it's changed my life. And it was the book that literally, along with Psalm 91, that absolutely changed my life. It was the teaching from God.
Oh, how exciting. Well, I can't wait to get those. Joyce's book is filled with illustrations. That's what I think is so powerful about her writing. She just takes God's word and is able to convey in a story or some example. That's what's so easy to understand what she's trying to convey. And so she has examples about every single one of these verses. And so one that I really liked was, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. We live on a farm, and so does Joyce. So will you tell everyone about what you discovered with that mother hen and the hawk above?
Well, years ago, when I was first getting into Psalm 91, I was sitting out in the yard watching our old mama hen. She had just hatched this whole brood of baby chicks, and they were all over the yard, hunting, pecking, and scratching. And all of a sudden, I saw the shadow of a hawk overhead. Well, I knew that there was no way that mama hen could chase down and cover all, you know, get all those babies to safety. I knew she couldn't. And so I, you know, and I was just panicked thinking, what am I going to do, you know, to help protect those babies? And all of a sudden, she stood up, she spread out her wings, and she began to cluck. And when she did, those baby chickens, she didn't run cover them. They came running to her and ran under her outstretched wings. And then she just covered those, pulled those wings down, covering every one of those babies. And that hawk absolutely would have had to have gone through the mother to have gotten to the babies. And I just stood there staring at it because I realized that's what God was saying, that when we're endangered, he's told us where to come. And if we run to him, run to his word, run to our covenant of Psalm 91, and run under his arms, he doesn't run here, there, and yonder chasing us down.
Right.
He's already given us the promise. We have to run to him. And when we run under those outstretched wings, then the enemy would have to go through, literally, go through God to get to us.
Oh, I love that. That is so powerful, Joyce. It's very powerful. A really powerful illustration to help us remember. When we run to God, he will cover us. He will work it out. And I just think that there's so many practical, you know, like you explaining the difference between the cobra and the young lion and the lion, the temptations and the things that the enemy tries to ensnare us with. I like how practical it is, because there's a verse in the Bible, I don't know, you may know where this is, I don't know, but I love this verse. It says, don't be afraid of sudden fear.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of sudden fear. And fear can grasp our hearts so quickly. We can come under clouds so fast we don't even know that it's happened to us. And so when we do figure it out that we're under attack, running to God, running to his word, he will bring deliverance. And that's
exactly
what the psalm is all about. Tell us about the promises at the end of Psalm 91.
Well, it's almost as though at the end he gives us 7 bonus promises, because he's already covered everything. And then he says, because he loves me, or she loves me, whichever the case may be, therefore, and he names off 7 quick promises. I'm going to deliver her. I'm going to set her securely on high because she's known my name. When she calls upon me, I'm going to answer her. I'm going to be with her when she's in trouble and rescue her. I'm going to honor her. I'm going to satisfy her with a long life, give us a long life, but it's going to be a satisfied long life. You know, some
right.
people live a long life and it's not very satisfactory.
Right.
But he's going to satisfy us with a long life, and then he's going to allow us to see his salvation. And of course, Jesus is the salvation.
Yes.
And that word salvation doesn't just mean a ticket to heaven, but it's health, healing, deliverance, protection, and provision.
Health, healing, deliverance, what?
Okay, health, healing, deliverance, protection, and provision.
And provision.
He provides for us. He protects us. He gives us health, but if we happen to do something to lose it, then he can bring healing in.
Yes.
And, you know, I so desperately needed deliverance, and he has deliverance available.
Yes.
So whatever our need might be, you know, he allows us to take hold of that salvation.
Now, in one part of your book, your husband, I think, said this, too many Christians take authority when they should be praying and pray when they should be taking authority
over
the enemy. Would you explain that?
Yes. My husband taught that to our church so often, and the people that caught on to it, it really was a blessing. You know, Jesus would get up early, early in the morning, and he would go up into the mountain and be alone with the Father and pray. He did his praying mainly at night. And when you see what he does in the daytime, he's taking authority all day long. He's taking authority over the enemy. He's taking authority over people that are trying to destroy the works of God. You know, now, and you really don't see him doing a lot of just praying in the daytime. You know, he's in an attitude of prayer all the time, as we all have to be.
Okay.
But he wasn't doing a lot of his in-depth praying. He was taking authority. And so what happens so many times when we're faced with something in the daytime where we need to stand up and take our God-given authority, what are we doing? We're saying, oh, God, help me. You know, oh, God, do this, or oh, God, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to be praying in our prayer time with the Lord, you know, our times when we're alone with him, walking and having that intimate time with God. That's when we need to be praying and getting ourselves built up in our most holy faith. But when we face a situation where the enemy's coming in, or we face a situation where somebody has a need, maybe we're praying for someone that's sick, that's not when we need to be just praying and saying, oh, God, do this, oh, God, do that. We need to be saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this demonic spirit, or I take authority over this demonic sickness and disease, or I take authority over this lack, this need, and in the name of Jesus, I speak forth what God's word says, and we need to quote the scripture that's appropriate and take our authority. But most of the time, like Jack said, we're doing it backwards. The first part of the book, I do an introduction to tell, you know, how I received it. And then every chapter represents one of the verses in Psalm 91.
Right.
And, of course, they're filled with testimonies, too. But then in the back of the book, the last half of the book, it's all testimonies, one testimony after another of people who have put Psalm 91 to work and they've seen miraculous things happen. And in the military book, well, those are all military examples.
Right.
The latest book that Charisma has done, we've combined testimonies in the new book, are either military, police stories, or firemen. And then the other half are just everyday miracles that happen with moms and dads and children, you know, just in everyday life.
So, again, to kind of cement this in our understanding, this is a protection covenant expressed in the first two verses, he who dwells and he who says.
Yes,
that's
our part.
Can you tell us how important it is, what comes out of our mouth, which is,
yes,
which is one of your chapters here, because we don't have any problem telling what's wrong with a situation or complaining or exclaiming out loud what we see with our eyes.
That's right.
And we can get a report from the doctor that says that there's a certain physical ailment. I just got one the other day. But I don't have to. How would you deal with that? I got a report from my MRI that says that I have spinal stenosis now, which is, I had a tumor 5 years ago. Now I've got something else, you know, with the spine.
Yes.
So how I was a little surprised that I had that because I dealt with the tumor and I still have repercussions from a surgery that didn't go well with the tumor. And let me just talk about that just a little bit, because the morning of that operation, I wish I would have known Psalm 91 at that time. I don't feel like the Lord let me down in the experience I had, but I didn't know about Psalm 91. But the morning of my operation, I was in the hotel room and I asked the Lord, God, I need something from your word. I'm really concerned. It was just pre-surgery, actually, to getting the tumor shot with radiation. But it would require them working on my spine to put little markers in there to guide the CyberKnife. I had a CyberKnife treatment, it's called. So I was pretty scared, and I had to fill out a living will, even though this was supposed to be a non-invasive operation. And so I cried out to the Lord, and he impressed on my mind Isaiah 54. And in that passage, it talks about how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. And so the hospital chaplain prayed with me, and I went into surgery. And when I came out of surgery, of course, I asked the Lord to protect me, Joyce. When I came out of surgery, I was numb from the waist down, and my whole right leg was numb. And I explained to the intern at the time who was in charge of me what was wrong with me, but he did not ever, they had never had anything happen to someone like me. He thought I had a compressed nerve, and he sent me home, and home is 2.5 hours away from where this happened. And so the whole weekend, my spinal cord swelled. I went to the emergency room 2 times. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. Nobody conveyed to my doctor. Nobody told her what was happening to me or what had happened. And I talked to someone in her office like 4 days out of the 5 days from Wednesday to Monday. And so finally she called me on Monday and said, Jill, what happened to you? Why didn't anyone tell me this was happening to you? And I didn't know, you know, why no one had told her. By the time I got back down there, damage that could have been stopped by medicine to stop the swelling had not been given to me. And so I had a deeper wound than should have happened. And so my comfort over the following years, that my comfort from the Lord was that he gave me, what I came out of that with, Joyce, was feet that were so sensitive to the nerve endings that to this day they're hard. My right foot is hard as a rock. And now there's spinal stenosis. And how do we take when we have a diagnosed, let me just go back though to Isaiah 54. My greatest comfort as I processed what I'd been through, knowing that I asked the Lord to protect me, coming out of it wrong, the Lord showed me after a year and a half or so, that he actually spared my life. That actually when they were pounding those little markers, and they say they place them in your spine, but I came out with bruises on my shoulders, so they're not going to tell you, they're going to pound them into your spine. They want you to think they're tapping them because pounding's frightening. Tapping, you can handle. So when I came out of that, finally I realized after about a year and a half, because my trust was shaken, obviously. It's like, Lord, I prayed, I'm your child. Out of all the people who have this operation, how did this go wrong for me? And the Lord showed me that he actually spared my life, that I was not paralyzed, that I, the enemy, would have loved to have had me paralyzed, and that God actually held the enemy back, and that pounding and that tapping was that, and the Lord specifically gave me the verse before I went into that surgery. Of all the things that I came out of the surgery, strange and, you know, just so weird, was that my feet hurt. And the Lord had given me the verse, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news.
Yes, yes.
So God, I think often, Joyce, we do not see, and I've been praying even with the trials with my father, God, help me see what you're doing. Because with my eyes, it looks all wrong. How did we get into this situation? How did this happen? This is exhausting. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I've lost a child, I've had my own personal illness, but taking care of this 90-year-old little man is actually, I think, the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But God, help me see this from your perspective. Help me see it from your vantage point. Help me to understand what you are doing through this trial so that I can embrace this trial with joy. So, Joyce, how do we reconcile when we have something in our life that, whether it's an illness that, you know, and we didn't know about Psalm 91, I couldn't have prayed that before my operation. How do we reconcile that? What do we do? What's your advice?
Okay, there are going to be times when the enemy slips in. And, I don't know whether it's because we open a door or, you know, we're not paying attention. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But all I know is that God says, are you going to believe what my word says or in your covenant, or are you going to believe what the doctor is saying to you? And I know that probably it's been at least 10 years ago, I went to the doctor and he did an EKG and discovered that I had a heart problem. Well, I came home that day and I sat down and I said, I can either believe that or I can believe God's word. I can't believe both of them at the same time. And so I started going, I was already going out every morning and praying. But that's when I really became very fervent in going out every morning and also quoting Psalm 91. And every morning I was saying, God, I choose to believe what your word says more than I believe what this doctor said.
Right.
So I had just made up my mind, I'm not going back to the doctor on this unless, Lord, unless you tell me to go back. If you tell me to, I'll be obedient. But otherwise, I'm confessing and believing what you said. Now, we have to be more than willing to go if God tells us to. But I walk every day, and even though I was real short of breath many times, I just kept going. I thought, Lord, I believe your word. So I don't know how you're going to bring this to pass, but I believe your word. And I was in the doctor's office about a year ago. Actually, it was because we were getting an insurance policy, and we had to have a doctor's report to get the insurance policy. And so he just pulled an EKG machine in and started giving me an EKG, and I thought, oh, golly, I hope you know, that doesn't open up a whole keg of worms, you know. And anyway, when it was over with, he just wrote his report down. And he was a heart specialist. He wasn't just a regular practitioner. And so anyway, he went right on with the other things that he was checking off on the list. And so finally I said, I'm just curious, the EKG that you just took, how did it come out? And he said, well, fine, why? And I said, do you remember me? I said, was in your office about 10 years ago, and you actually had told me that I needed to come back because I had a heart problem. And he just looked at me real puzzled for a little while, and then he said, I vaguely do remember that. And I said, and you're saying everything's okay? He said, yeah, everything's fine. Your heart is fine. And so I've determined in my heart, now I'm going to do anything God tells me to. If he tells me to go to a doctor or tells me to do something, I'm going to do that. I'll never not do that. But I have made up my mind that I am not going to receive any bad news that the doctor says that contradicts the word. Even if God tells me to go and get treatment, even if he should tell me to do that sometime, I'm still going to be confessing with my mouth every day that I am healed and that I have a covenant that covers it completely. My good friend Renee Hood, she went to the doctor, and she was having really bad symptoms on her body. Well, when he checked her, he said that she was in the last stages of lupus. And even though a lot of people have lupus and live with it, hers was in the final stages. He said that it was in October, and he said that she would not see Christmas. So he's told her to get all of her affairs in order. And he had done extensive testing, and she called me that afternoon, and she said, I'm going to tell you that the doctor gives me a different report than what the Word of God gives me, but she said, I'm just here to tell you that I receive the report of God. She said, now I'm going to, if the doctor tells me to come back, I'm going to, well, which she was supposed to go back. She said, I'm going to go back because he's told me to, but she said, I will not turn loose of my covenant with God.
Oh,
and she got a lot worse before she got better. But every time I would call her, she was saying, hey, Joyce, I have a covenant, and my covenant tells me that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And she would quote some different parts of Psalm 91 to me. And that went on for several months. She passed up Christmas, you know. He just knew she would be dead by Christmas. She passed that up, and it was on into the next year that finally it started turning around, and she would call me and say, Peggy Joyce, a lot of these symptoms are not as bad as they were.
Oh,
well, that's
God.
Been probably at least 10 years ago, and she is an evangelist, and she goes all over the country declaring the promises of God and declaring this. So I'm just saying, there may be times when the enemy comes in and tries to put something on our body, but boy, that's when we better stomp our foot and say, no, I don't receive that. I receive what the Word of God tells me, and we need to quote Psalm 91. And there's been times if the enemy's hitting me with something, I may quote it 10 and 15 times a day because I'm not going to give up my covenant. But that's why it's so important to say it out loud. If we just think it, we still get overwhelmed with the symptoms. But if we're saying it out loud, it's like every time we say it, that word coming out of our mouth is like a weapon in the spiritual realm. And
it is a weapon. That's
and it's pulling down. It's killing that stronghold that's trying to come against
us. Especially when we quote God's word, because would you rather believe the report that is negative and brings death, or would you rather take the sword of the word and cut that thing off?
Exactly.
You know?
And we have a choice. Oh, listen, I've got to tell you this story. Another friend, Crystal, and we knew when they moved to Brownwood and joined our church, their two little boys were just very young. Well, they grew up in the church, and her son, Jeffrey, was one of the first ones that was sent to Iraq. He marched in with the first group that went in. And so every day she had been saying the entire Psalm 91 out loud, thanking God for his protection. And one day she got a letter came from the United States, and it said that they were very sorry to tell her that her son had been killed in action. Well, she said when she opened the letter, she was just stunned. And she said for a little while, she couldn't think what to do. She said she just stood there. And she said she wanted to call her husband. She wanted to call all of her friends because she was so scared. But all of a sudden, God started reminding her of his promise of protection for her family. And so she said for the next 2 hours, she walked the floor and she told the devil that she was not going to receive that report because it did not agree with God's promise. And she just started praising God, and she said that literally she had never been on such a high. She was just walking through the house, quoting God's word, praising him.
Right.
And then she stopped. She called the senator's office, and she said, I think you've made a mistake because I know my son is alive. Well, they thought that she had talked to him or something, you know, and she didn't tell them that, but that's what they assumed. And so they told her that they'd have to make some phone calls and call her back. They said, we don't have any idea how something like this could have happened. And so the whole time she was waiting for that call, she said that the devil tried to tell her, that this was just stupid on her part, you know.
Yeah.
But she was determined she wasn't going to listen to the voice that was in her head. And she said it was several hours. And she said she walked the floor and confessed the word the entire time. And finally, the phone call came, and they just started apologizing for all over the place for making such a terrible mistake, that they had found out that her son was indeed alive and well. And sure enough, she didn't tell him. Now, she did tell her husband, and the Lord had not let her call her husband. He said, no, you fight this battle. Well, that night when she showed her husband the letter and told him the story, he said, honey, the Lord just wouldn't let me call you. And he said, I know why, because he said, I would have killed your faith. He said, I would not have been able to have stood. And so he said, that's why God didn't let you call me. So they just rejoiced and thanked God, but they didn't say anything to Jeffrey until he came home. And when he came home, they had him and his wife and the brother and his wife over for dinner, and she pulled out that letter and laid it on the table for them to read and then told them what had happened. And she said she said they all just sat there and couldn't say a word. She said they were just stunned, you know.
Right.
And but anyway, I'm just saying there's times when the enemy will come in and make a really bad report. You know, that was a horrible report.
Yes,
and
exactly.
The report of having something wrong with my heart, that was a horrible report.
Right.
But there are times we have to stand, and even if we do what the doctor tells us to do, even if we go ahead and take treatment or whatever,
right,
if that's what God impresses us to do, we better stand and not ever give it up with our mouth and our heart. It's in our heart and mouth where we stand and believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth.
Right.
And we may have to do that, you know, with bad reports coming in. But it's whose report are you going to believe, you know?
Yes. And I think, did you say this in your book? David didn't look at Goliath, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, tell us that. Explain
that. I hope I can remember exactly how I wrote it. But in other words, David, he couldn't, that giant was big, and that giant had a loud voice, and he was declaring that he was going to cut David up and feed him to the birds. And David had to get his heart and his mind off of what that enemy was saying. And he had to put his mind and his thoughts on God.
My
and
God.
He had to say out loud what God's word was said. And that's
so
exactly what he did.
I love this. We just read this last night. Instead of him looking at the giant and seeing how big the giant was, he looked at his God and saw how big his God was.
Exactly.
And that, I love that. I wish that I had had Psalm 91 when I came out of the operating room.
Yes.
I wish I had, you know, when I was so filled with fear, walked in fear for a good year and a half because I was wounded. It's just another level of suffering.
Yes,
know.
It is. And that's what Renee used to tell me. She said, I had to ignore. She was in a lot of pain, the one with lupus. And she said she had to ignore that pain and ignore what she saw. She had these huge places come on her body. And, so she was feeling and seeing bad things. And so she said she had to ignore that and say constantly what God's word was saying. And we do. And, you know, like I say, it was 10 years before I ever went back and had another EKG, but it was gone. I've had several things that have tried to come against me.
Yeah.
And on every one of them, I had to stand and say what God's word said and then, you know, get the victory.
Yeah.
I had something go wrong with one of my eyes, and it was horrible. I mean, my eye looked, it was just cherry red, and I went to three ophthalmologists mm-hmm. and even one optometrist, and none of them could, I mean, they all tried to treat it with different things, and but none of them really knew what it was. And so I just started, from the very beginning, was just saying what God's word said constantly, just over and over and over. And I was in a lot of pain with my eye. You know, it would wake me up in the middle of the night. It was so painful. And I determined in my heart, I'm not going to give this up. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I have a covenant. And
well, I like what you said the word salvation means. It's a little richer than what we realize.
And, yes, it is.
You know, if we think about the woman who had the issue of blood, and if she could just touch the hem
yes.
of the garment of Jesus, she would be healed.
When you read through the curses there in Deuteronomy 28, God never puts any of those on us. There's just a difference. A person knows the difference between the things that Christ took on his own body on the cross. And anything Christ took on his own body on the cross, he doesn't put it back on us.
Oh, I love that, Joy.
Yeah, so that's the one thing that we can be so relieved in that. Now, we'll suffer when we look out and see a lost and dying world. We're going to suffer with compassion when we see people that make wrong choices, but it won't be the devastation of the curses. When it's the devastation of the curses, then that's coming from the enemy, and that's when we need to take authority and make sure we do not receive it.
That is powerful. Wow, because what did Jesus do? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
That's right.
And he also quoted the word to the enemy.
Yes.
And he didn't accept it. He didn't take it. He knew the word.
Yes.
And so there's no way to look at this other than how did Jesus handle.
Exactly. When we see what he did.
Yes. Amen. You know, one of my customers actually saw that I was going to be interviewing you, Peggy, and she and her husband have a ministry. It's called Operation Float a Soldier in San Antonio, Texas. And they give out gift bags to wounded soldiers. And she said, please let Peggy know that we bought cases of her book for the soldiers and Psalm 91 for soldiers and military.
Wow.
And put them in the bags. So I can't even imagine going into war or having to do that with the enemy coming at you with bullets whizzing by your head. And God's word, again, you know, for you to have done this for such specific people, you know. How many different Psalm 91s do you have? And I know it's in many languages.
Yes. Well, we have just the regular, the first one, the Psalm 91, God's umbrella of protection. And then I have the Psalm 91 for youth, and then the toddler Psalm 91, which is a board book for very young children.
Oh.
And then we have the Psalm 91 for military,
okay.
And it's called God's Shield of Protection. And then the next one, the latest one, it's also called Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection, but it's the newest one. It has angel wings on the front, and it's for those that are in harm's way as well as just the average, you know, citizen.
Right.
And then we also have a workbook, a Psalm 91 workbook.
Now, what's the book, again, that you mentioned when you were really struggling?
Those That Trust in the Lord Shall Not Be Disappointed.
And what was the other one?
And the other one was Tormented 8 Years and Back.
Okay.
And my daughter just did a book, God's Smuggler, Junior. And she goes, literally, she and the group of college students that she and her husband counsel with, they go all over the world doing missions. And so she's written a very exciting book that really encourages young teenagers to get involved with God and how exciting the life can be. And it has just been a real blessing.
Well, I thought maybe, Joyce, we would let our audience ask you some questions. So, ladies, do you have any questions for Joyce? If you'd like to write them in the chat, maybe she can address any issues that you want to talk about. How long did you declare Psalm 91 before you started seeing results? How long before peace came?
When I had gone through all of the emotional problems, it took a little while after that. I'm going to say a couple of years, but the reason wasn't because God's word wasn't working. I was doubting and fearing the whole time. And so it took about that long for me to quote the word to get the fear and get the doubts and, to get my mind renewed.
Right.
And after I finally won the battle over that, well, I saw, healing almost instantly. So it wasn't that it took that long for the healing to come. It took that long to get my mind renewed. And that's what I tell a lot about in that book, Tormented 8 Years and Back.
Well, in her question here, how long before peace came, is there, I know like with the situation with my father, I thank God for this 14 months so far, because this is a new area of trust and asking the Lord to let me see this from his perspective and give him the time to work the details out. Now, I think her question here, how long before peace came? Sometimes we can be in a situation that is not quickly resolved, and that it will take God, unfortunately know the Hebrew word, I don't have it in front of me, but it's a word that talks about being patient, well, having patience with God in a situation. Actually, it's the word for waiting. I just don't know what it is, waiting on the Lord. And so, and then also, we have to have patience with one another. And so, again, we will not always see with our eyes immediately a solution, right?
No, sometimes we don't see it immediately. I think, though, when we become to the place where we know that God's word's true, and where we get the doubts and the fears and those kinds of things out of the way, usually it doesn't take long after that.
Psalm 91 apply to finances, or is it only for physical well-being?
Well, when he says that he will meet all of our needs, it definitely refers to meeting everything that makes our life work. In other words, when we're not afraid of the arrows that fly by day, some of those arrows that come are financial arrows. Mm-hmm. Some of those are arrows that try to take us under financially. So many times that's what we've quoted. We said, Father, I thank you. We're not going to be afraid.
Share the example of your vending machines.
We had a guy come in that just started, actually, this was before my husband went in the ministry. We had just come in to understand, the promises of God and began to stand on them. And my husband had his father had had a Pepsi business where we furnished Pepsi for several different counties.
Mm-hmm.
And we were making a living, but it was a real struggle. And we had this guy come in with Coca-Cola, and he had determined that he was going to put us out of business. And he came in saying that's what he was going to do. He started just spending an unbelievable amount of money. He's just doing everything, and a lot of the things that he was doing were not ethical. But he was determined he was going to put us out of business. And so Jack had just started learning how to trust God, and he was quoting Psalm 91, and he was quoting the fact that these were arrows that were definitely coming from the enemy, and that these arrows were not going to be able to approach us. They were not going to be able to put us under. And he just kept quoting Psalm 91. That man, I mean, if anybody had watched what he did and the things that he did against us in the business, they would never have known how we had been able to hang on as long as we did. And just about the time that Jack told me, he said, Pedros, I don't see how we're going to be able to hang on much longer. But he said, I'm trusting God. I'm not going to turn it loose. Well, this guy went under. He went broke. And he told somebody who came back and talked to us, he said that, he told him, he said, I don't know how they stood as long as they stood. He said, I don't know how they did it. He said, but I went broke before they did.
Wow.
And so, anyway, it is amazing how God can pick you up and carry you through even financial burdens. But we have to stand on his word and know that he means it.
Well, we need to cling to God's word and to internalize it and be transformed by it and believe it. And I have a dear friend, Wanda, who actually about a year and a half ago wrote a book called My Sila Moment. And Joyce, I think you would love her book. But she said, you know, the Lord had shown her that we really sometimes just gloss over God's word way too easily. And I think what you have shown us in Psalm 91 is that because God spoke it, he gave you that rhema word. He gave you that word for a moment. You know, he's done that with me where he's given me, like he gave me the word revok. Revok, it means a wide open space of deliverance. It's absolutely such a beautiful Hebrew word. But he gave it to me. We had moved to this farm, and it was after we lost our son. God picked us up, and he moved us. It was absolutely no problem for him to pick us up and move us and bring us to a 200-acre farm. And in this 200-acre farm, he gave us a wide-open place of deliverance. My friend Wanda said, you know, God's word, we sometimes don't see what's really there. And so I've learned to really begin to hang on every word in his word.
Yes.
And so I love the fact that you've taken Psalm 91 and you've gone deeper than any of us have gone studying Psalm 91. So ladies, if you wonder, how can she talk with such authority on Psalm 91, and how can she believe what she believes? Get your Hebrew concordance out and start studying those words for yourself. And I highly recommend the Keyword Study Bible to do that. But you can get online even and put in Strong's Concordance. You can look up every single word. What I love about the Keyword Study Bible is those words are underlined. As you go through the Bible, all kinds of words are underlined. And you'll be reading along, and all of a sudden, just this word will be underlined, and you'll think to yourself, I wonder what that means.
Yes.
And you go into the Hebrew, and you find the depth of what that means, and then all of a sudden, your spiritual man inside is renewed. Your mind's renewed. You're taken to another understanding in the spirit of what God intended. And God's words are much richer and deeper and wider than what our English language is.
Exactly.
And so I encourage you, as it says in the beginning of the psalm, for finding a hiding place with God. With my own daughters, what I've begun to do is tell them for their devotions to go ahead and read whatever they want to read, but that they must define a few of those words that are underlined in whatever they read. So if it's
yes,
a psalm or whatever. And so it's such a blessing to me for them to come with the deeper meaning, the word definition, you know. But please lift my friend Wanda up, because, and Joyce, maybe this is someone we can pray for together before we close this out. My friend Wanda was given a CT scan in an emergency room and got a too high of a dosage of radiation. Mm. And she has been combating, doing exactly what you've been saying, standing on God's word. She's had symptom after symptom, things happening because of the radiation she was given. And she said if it were not for prayer, and, I mean, she'll be in the middle of the night. Her, like, the latest thing was one of her eyes welled up and was as hard as a marble. She prayed over her eye. She anointed her eye with oil. And going to the doctor, doing exactly what you said, reading, studying. But the Lord told her not to fear in any of this. And so I went over there, and the Lord said to sing over her, pray over her, and sing over her. And so, you know, with our eyes, or if you even read on the internet, Joyce, right, you'll scare yourself half to death, right?
I know, yes. Yes.
See, ladies, what we're trying to say is we're standing on the word of God, and his word will deliver us, just like it says in Psalm 119. Revive us, O Lord, by your word. Revive us, O Lord, by your testimonies and by your loving kindness for us. Revive us, Lord.
Yes.
So I get pretty excited about that now, because I need the Lord so deeply. I need him so much. And I need his word. I need it to deliver
yes
me. out of all of my troubles, you looked at this poor man and you delivered him out of all his troubles.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, ladies, would it be okay if we all prayed for my friend Wanda Jabert right now? We've done some recordings before with Wanda Joyce, and I was wondering if you would bring her before the throne room. She's just poured her life out in ministry to so many people over the years, and this is her time of need. So,
well, Father, I thank you that we can come together, sisters in Christ, and we can join ourselves. You said when any two or more agree is touching, it will be done. And so, Father, I thank you that there's more of us in agreement here, and we are standing on the word of God and coming before you and declaring this word over Wanda. And, Father, I don't know what caused the overdose of radiation, but, Father, that's not too big for you. And so we take authority right now in the name of Jesus over this demonic attack that's trying to hinder her eyes, and I don't know what else it might be trying to hinder, but we take authority right now, and we say, devil, you're not going to do it. Whatever damage is trying to come on her body, we say no in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're reversing this thing and that it will not be able to do any damage. It will not be able to hinder her in any way. We break that demonic attack. And we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And we say, Father, thank you that you sent your son and that he died on the cross, took our sickness and took our disease and took the damage on his own body so that we do not have to bear it again. I thank you, Father, that Wanda doesn't have to bear this again. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that this thing is going to reverse and it's going to go away and she's not going to have any evil repercussions from this radiation.
Yes,
we break the power of it in Jesus' name. And we declare into the heavenlies that she is healed. And Father, it's because of you. It's because of what Jesus Christ took on his own body on the cross. And so, Father, we declare it to be done. And we thank you ahead of time. And I thank you, Father, immediately she's going to start seeing these symptoms turn around and completely leave.
Amen.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? Reverse is the word that has been just told to her by people who she's been on their hearts and they didn't know why. And
wow.
Everybody's coming to her with, and that's what I said to her, God is going to reverse this. And praise
Wonderful.
God.
Wonderful. Amen.
Praise God.
Again, if there was anyone that wasn't listening earlier, there's a lot of things that can be downloaded, you know, to learn from at my website, which is www.peggyjoyceruth.org. And I have an 800 number, an 877-972-6657. You know, there's a girl that answers the phone there, 877-972-6657, and she's a real blessing, too.
Well, Joyce, I just want to thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I had such a good time.
Okay, and ladies, make sure you visit her website. I love the Psalm 91 book. It's just been great. We're still reading through it, and we're also memorizing Psalm 91. So I hope that I can get that down and under my belt this coming month. So thank you,
yes.
Joyce, so much.
Thank you for having
me. Okay, God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.